The good things about the teachings of the Buddha is that they're quite simple, and we don't always have to do much intellectual, scholastic studies. We can just use simple teachings for our practice and use them directly and be creative with them in adding the meaning in the particulars to our situation. If anything that you're practicing fits in with the Four Noble Truths, that means leads to you understanding what suffering is and the cause of suffering, then it should be all right. There's no doubt that that's good practice. And if anything is in line with the three characteristics, like anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering, and anatta, non-self, then it's very good for practice, and there's no doubt that it's the right thing to do. Especially the three characteristics, like in the forest tradition, there's a lot of talk about these, and Four Noble Truths as well, of course. You got Ajahn Chah talking about maine, everything is not sure. You just simply keep the not sure mind all through the day, and with your attitudes, with your thoughts coming up, not to believe into them, not to kind of like spin on with something that's actually changing anyway. Just see the fleeting and transient nature, and don't invest too much effort into following them. It's excellent meditation practice. And or like on a bigger level, if the mind is too subtle and you don't have the right angle on how to catch yourself thinking and you get into habits without noticing it or so, you can direct your attention to the body and literally instruct your mind through contemplating the body about the impermanence in the body. For example, just interesting, like some of the images that we carry around our body. Everybody, for example, knows quite well how his hands look. So one can just simply contemplate these things and think, these things are not the way I usually perceive them. And look at them, how they change, how they feel, and contemplate something that's close to your direct experience, and use the simple teachings in addition with that, and then the mind naturally is in the Dhamma, is in the teachings of the Buddha, is not somewhere outside. And whenever something else comes up, you go back to something simple and elaborate on it, and then the mind has got something to do. I just came across some teachings that Ajahn Jandi had given quite a while ago to a group of us visiting him at a, I think, Boy Scouts Jamboree in 2003 or so, with Ajahn Chandako, and it was all in Thai, and he actually wanted it to be translated into English, but like for the flow of it, like we had it all done in Thai, and I actually later translated part of it. And I was just thinking about it because it's such an obvious thing, but like he was talking about reflecting on the Dhamma, Dhamma Vichaya. You can call it like with the Pali if you like, and Dhamma Vichaya sounds like something special, but like it's actually meaning that you incline your mind back to the Dhamma all the time. Say, for example, when you're walking Jongkrom, say as soon as you find yourself speculating about the future, which is uncertain, or like you go back to the past, which is like something that you know already, and there's no need to revisit it, and so more or less like, then you just go back to something very simple, some teachings that has impressed you, or like that you find applicable in, and then you dwell on that, and you expand on it, and you look at your, especially the interface between the physical world, what you're doing, what you're feeling in your body, and how the whole sense of movement is happening with this Dhamma teaching, for example, impermanence. You can walk Jhonkrom and contemplate each step and how the things are constantly in movement, literally because one is walking. But even one tends to think I'm just always doing the same, I'm walking up and down, but actually each step is very different, and you can really find ways of looking at what's happening. And then the mind isn't back to the past or isn't in the future. And just go back, and you can also use a reminder for yourself, like in saying it's impermanent, and just drop the stuff that that one wants to hold on, and hold on to something that is directly with in touch with your experience. And it can be the touching of your feet on the ground, for example. It can be a simple touch of the breeze on your skin while you're walking. The mind gets quite refined. You can contemplate lots of things that actually, with the unsharpened awareness, they don't come to one's attention. But when one zooms into the experience at a particular point, and then enlarges it from there, and then the mind has got a lot of ways to be in the Dhamma, in the teachings, and not go all over the place, and be well focused, and then it's naturally cooling oneself down, and the need for activity, the restlessness or so, actually settles after some time. Sometimes, say for a meditation session, especially if you're now arranging your time freely, sometimes there's doubts about what should I do now? Should I sit or should I walk? And then sometimes one wastes a lot of time thinking I should rather sit now. I'm gonna walk first, but I got to sit, or the other way around. You know, I got to sit still, but actually I need to walk or whatnot. You know, it's just something completely nonsensical what we're doing. We're sabotaging our own effort. So finding alternatives that aren't really kind of like anything great at all, like it's just like not being able to do what one's doing, and always in the future, always comparing, always doing something else, and forgetting that whatever things that are coming, you know, they're worthy of just dwelling on them, just being there and being mindful, not to get carried away with things that are changing anyway. Say it's just terrible if one has one of those days where one's restless. So it may well come up after having had quite a bit of activity in the Sangha, and then now you got all the free time of the world, so you can't blame it on the place, you can't blame it on the schedule, you can't blame it on the Ajahn, it's all up to you, so you got all the choices. And yet it doesn't work, the mind still goes here and there. So then give it something to think, which is in the Dhamma. For some people, maybe the impermanence is the right thing to think about. You think about a bit broader than your present-day experience. You think about death. Like, say, for example, you think what the heck the difference is between a walking, alive body and a dead body. If you can solve that koan, you're pretty gang, I think. You can just kind of dwell on it and look at it, and you don't know much about death. You haven't experienced it yet. None of us has, I bet. And so even near-death experiments, they say it's all just in the brain. It's just kind of all kind of like illusion anyway. So nobody really has experienced death. But like, we've got all these kind of anticipations or accesses to it. So there's tons of playground for a mind that wants to think. Instead of going to the near future, you go to the very, very distant future. Imagine the last chunk of life. Like, some of us have seen people dying or almost dying, and what I find important is always to bridge one's own physical, tangible experience with what one is contemplating. So if you're contemplating death, then contemplate yourself on the transition of death, and contemplate yourself in a way where, you know, like you know the expression of a face of somebody who's dead. We've seen a lot of corpses in the monastery at the cremations, for example, and you can tell that there's no life force in the face of a dead person. And so you can, maybe this is better for sitting, but some people can do it while walking as well. Just sit down and just imagine your face and just imagine that quality jump from alive and fresh and there to not there anymore. And you can do that. These are things that everybody has to find out or try, just giving you some of my ideas. But if there's anything that makes sense, and it can be also quite an odd idea, as long as it has to do with impermanence, suffering, or non-self, it's all right. And it's in the Dhamma, and it's not a waste of time. And there's some marvelous experiences that one can make through things that one thought one knew already, by just like applying oneself over and over, just going again to the same thing, and just going in there again, looking at it from the inside out, from the outside in, roundabout, perpetual change, constantly looking here, there, everything close to the edge, down by the corner, everywhere, look everywhere where you can and see things. So, and if anybody noticed the quotes from famous rock songs that I just gave, now he gets a special prize today. Okay, and this was my award.